Sci-Fi. Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio Produced podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest.
This came back from a search.
Oh, Jesus. Why is my phone... What did I say? What did I say that my fucking phone would... Anyway, I'm so thrown now. Hey, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. You can get access to 2 bonus episodes a week. The guest is petting his cat, but it's behind your, I can't even see the cat. I want to see the cat. It's behind your, bad Zoom green screen. All right. That's a cute cat. Two bonus episodes a week. If you can't support financially, but you want to, just go to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review, and we will read your name on the air. Oh my God.
Follow us on Spotify, too. It's weird because the Spotify one actually has the episode photos on it. The Apple does not anymore.
Yeah, sure. Follow us. I mean, wherever you get podcasts, I think that's a sort of subjective depends on what
you're... Well, switch to Spotify. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, switch to Spotify, but leave your reviews on Apple Podcasts because that's where I check. Are there reviews on Spotify? Do I need to be checking that?
I'll find out for next week.
Okay, cool. Well, that's a cliffhanger for next week. Let's welcome aboard the SS RLSF, our good friend, director of... Hidden America,
yeah.
God damn it. I'm sorry I fucked that up. He's a director. He's our friend. We've known him forever. He's the director of Hidden America with Jonah. He's our good friend. He's a filmmaker, director. No, keep this all in. This is going to be good once I finally nail it. He's our good friend, director of Hidden America with Jonah Ray, which you can find on... I shouldn't have added that. Why did I add that? Where can you find it?
VRV.co. I looked that up before.
VRV.co. While you were saying let me start again. Leave all this in. he's a good friend, director of Hidden America with Jonah Ray on VRV.co. It's our buddy, Paul Bonanno.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, dude?
Match my energy.
Oh, hey guys, what's going on? hold on. Ah, shit. No, leave it in.
Oh my
hold
God,
on.
Is that the way
time.
I sound? Hang on.
One more time.
Is that the way I sound?
Hey guys. I think I nailed it on the last.
Thank you so much for being here. This is the first time you've been here, which is insane.
Yeah.
I don't know how insane it is, but. You know, I agree.
Well, we've been doing it for like 5 years. It's weird that you never. Is it?
I'm not known to make the podcast rounds. So this is, I think, the second or maybe third podcast I've ever even been on. So,
well, if you want to talk about the podcast rounds, we are not on it. I don't think anyone is like, we need to do Marc Maron, and then we need to do Comedy Bang Bang, and then we'll do Real Life Sci-Fi. I don't think we pull those numbers. But anyway, thank you for being here. Talk a little bit about... We've never talked about Hidden America. Jonah's one of our good friends. He's been on for a while. He's been on a few times. And we've never... I don't think we've ever talked about it. You guys basically went around and made a fake travel show.
Yeah, it was just like a parody of those Anthony Bourdain shows with Jonah kind of playing a character that's just well out of his depth, but thinks... He knows what he's talking about and that he's smart and that he is Anthony Bourdain. and it was a lot of fun. And we even got to have Anthony Bourdain on the show.
Oh, wow. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. He was super nice. He was great. And it was crazy because we shot with him in New York. And so people were just like stopping and shouting like, "Hey, Tony, what are you getting beats on 8th Street for?" And we're like, "Yep, they're only here."
Oh, my God. New Yorkers, the worst, right?
I hate him.
It's like everybody's business is everybody's business. That's New York.
They're just a little too proud of their city and it's how like, nice dude, it is.
Yeah, you didn't choose to live there. You just were born there. So shut up.
Yes, that's it's like, a big city. Listen, it's great. Everybody knows it.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I don't want to bash New York too much. I feel like I've done a lot of that. So, Paul, how into conspiracy theories are you? And we have a quiz and we're going to test you on this stuff. But just in general, like, how much do you pay attention to it?
I pay attention to it about as much as whatever people from my hometown in Ohio are conspiracy theorying about. Like, if somebody says something crazy on Facebook and I look it up and I go, oh, so that's what Q is, you know?
Oh, so it's a lot of like political, like climate stuff, right?
Yeah, I think for the most part. I mean, it occasionally veers off.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I think I remember you posting something addressing your hometown people, which I thought was very, I remember respecting one of your posts so much, going like, oh, fuck, dude. Like, am I right? You did that, right?
I've probably done that numerous times. So I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook has been around for the better part of a decade.
Well, it takes a lot to tell the town where you're from that just to look a little deeper. You know, I just remember respecting your post.
I feel like from 2010 until 2016, I felt like that was my job to tell my hometown to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, right. And I'm like, because like we have this show, and like, even though I'm on the conspiracy side of everything, I'm just like, man, you know, it's weird to say you're wrong about this to a population. And like, I try to stay out of,
well,
saying too much.
Speaking of hometowns, where are you from? What town is this?
Outside of Cleveland. Like, basically it's like right in between Cleveland and Akron.
Does that make you a Browns fan or Bengals?
Yes, I'm a Browns fan. Yeah. Bengals are down south.
Do you hate the Broncos?
I mean, I used to, because, you know, you guys.
Well, yeah. In the 80s, we had that whole thing.
Yeah.
And now we have far surpassed you. But you're coming up.
Hey, we made the playoffs. I mean, I was very happy about that. Although I'm conflicted about my feelings about the NFL in general. Just, you know, them lying about head injuries and like.
Yeah.
Well, big news today. Not to be fucked up, but.
I didn't catch it.
An old 49er shot five people and then himself.
Oh, shit.
And his father immediately was like, yeah, football fucked him up. So more of those stories coming out. But anyway, this is a fun podcast. Who cares about the shooting that's happening every single day? Like, there's a new one every day. Like, no one will even remember this when this episode comes out. So, Paul, we have something on the show called the WOW scale. It stands for Wait or Willie.
Okay.
It's a 5-question quiz. And don't worry about your score. Just answer honestly. At the end of the quiz, I will judge you on a spectrum between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to get Wade on the WOW scale?
Let's do it.
WOW scale.
Okay, first question, 3-parters. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I do believe in aliens, theoretically. I feel like it's a too vast a universe for there not to be other intelligent life somewhere. Have they visited here? If they do, I feel like they're interdimensional beings and that we wouldn't even know it if they were here. Did I cover all of that? Did I miss any? Oh, last 300 years?
In the last 300 years, yeah.
I don't know.
Tit for tat, if they've been here at some point, they've been here in the last 300 years kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, you know, you answered it because you threw in the interdimensional thing, which is great. No one's really done. Well, some people have, but like, our whole thing is like, did they build the pyramids and stuff, you know?
No, I don't believe that. I think that was man-made.
Okay, great. Okay. Question number 2. You're from Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
Were you raised religious?
I was. Catholic.
Catholic. Like, how stern of a Catholic were you?
Like, I didn't go to Catholic school, but went to church every single Sunday, you know, I didn't get confirmed because by the time I was 16, I was just like, I don't buy this.
Okay. So none of it stuck.
No, no. I mean, the guilt stuck, but that you can't shake that.
Oh, the guilt. That's like the only thing that sticks. They've got the corner marketed. They got the market corner.
They're good at business.
Okay. Question number two. Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Even though you were raised religious, do they not have a lot of ghosts in Cleveland?
I mean, there are ghost stories, and those are always fun, but I don't believe in ghosts, no.
Okay. You don't have a ghost story?
No. When I was very little, I had a dream that I came home from school, opened the door, my family was all huddled in the corner, and before I had a chance to ask them what was wrong, a ghost popped up, kind of like Ghostbusters, like the librarian. And I was so scared. I woke up in the middle of the night, but I was too scared to get up out of my bed to go tell my parents I was scared. So I just laid there all night, wide awake. That's my ghost story.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right, so you don't believe in ghosts. Question three, Bigfoot.
No.
What about any of the weird ones? There's in every culture, they've got a version of all the cryptozoological.
Loch Ness, Yeti.
Loch Ness, you know. Chupacabra, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that stuff.
No, I don't really believe in it. Not any kind of modern tale. Maybe somebody saw something a long time ago, but they were probably, all they saw was, you know, a whale's dick out of the ocean. They're like, it's a monster, you know, and they were wrong.
Well, a whale's dick would be kind of a monster, I think.
I mean, that's, to be fair, this is true.
Question number four, do you believe in psychics?
I mean, do I believe they have powers? No. Do I believe they exist? Yes. I see their signs all over the place.
You're not into any of them. You don't think any of them are clairvoyant?
No. I think they're just good at reading people.
Great. All right. Last question. Question number five. You're skewing very heavily weighed. Just to keep you abreast of the situation here.
Okay. All right.
Are you superstitious?
I mean, I'm superstitious in that kind of way of like, it's fun or like, you know, where I jokingly would be like, I shouldn't have turned on the baseball game because that's the moment they started losing. I should have just left it off and like waited and let them win.
Uh-huh. Do you knock on wood?
No, I don't do any of that kind of stuff. Or, you know, I'll walk under a ladder. I'll open an umbrella.
Okay, let me ask you this. Did you play sports growing up?
I did, yeah.
In Cleveland, it seems you would have to, right?
I mean, for the most part, yeah.
Very, very blue-collar sort of area,
I think. Yeah, you know, and also just, you know, take a little pride in losing and being the underdog and then losing over and over again.
So you were taught to lose.
Well, we're... By our sports teams, by the Cleveland sports teams, yes.
but what sports did you play?
I played soccer, baseball, and basketball.
Okay, no superstitions involved in any of those?
No, not really. Nothing I can remember doing.
Did they change the Indians' name yet? I don't pay attention to baseball anymore.
They've announced they're going to. They haven't actually changed it yet, though.
Word.
Oh, interesting. They did. What are they going with?
It's unclear. I think they did a little poll and it was the majority of people wanted them to change it to the Spiders, is what it was in like 1890. They were the Cleveland Spiders. Okay,
that's cool. That's fine if it was old.
Yeah, so a history thing. You Cleveland, yeah. Cleveland, to be clear, is not overrun with spiders, is it?
No, not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. I really hope they don't name it the Rockers.
The Rockers? Because,
yeah,
because the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's like... Come on, guys. We can do better than this.
No, well, that's bad. And also, we've got the Rockies in Colorado, and that would just be confusing.
This is true.
What was Wild Thing?
Also, the Rockers. I'm sorry, Willie. The Rockers is an old WWE tag team.
Yeah.
Well, everyone knows that.
Everyone does know it. It's Shawn Michaels. What's this? Marty Jannetty.
What was Wild Thing? That was the Cleveland Indians, right?
Yeah. Major League.
Let's talk about
Is that what Rockers is from? Wasn't he?
Wait, what do you mean?
No, he was just a bad pitcher. So they called him Wild Thing because he was wild.
Yeah, he was a wild pitcher.
Yeah, I didn't know if Rockers had anything to do with that movie. I'm trying to jump back. Yeah.
What Rockers? What do you mean? Which Rockers?
Oh, I don't know. I'm imagining those goofball fans. I thought maybe they called themselves the Rockers, and I forgot it.
Okay, well, but that's a fit. You know, that's fiction, right?
Yeah, but I feel like it'd be time to embrace and name a team after a fictional thing.
Okay, all right. The Mighty Ducks? You want the Mighty Ducks?
Yeah, yeah. What happened? Yeah,
that already happened.
Yeah, they're just the Ducks now, right?
Yeah, yeah, they dropped the Mighty Ducks, and that new series on Disney Plus is just Cobra Kai. It's just Cobra Kai, only with Mighty Ducks. You lost your thing, did you?
Yeah, it was bugging me, so I could only imagine it was.
Oh, I didn't care. Sorry, we're talking about his Zoom background. Last question. This is not a part of the WoW scale. I've already tabulated your score in my head. What do you think of Drew Carey?
I mean, he's fine. I like
that. Is there a lot of Cleveland pride for Drew Carey?
I think so. Yeah. You know, we like anyone that takes a little bit of pride in the hometown, like, and he took a lot of pride in Cleveland. So it was nice, you know, because Cleveland isn't a bad city. We're allowed to joke about ourselves, but we don't like it when other people joke about Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's There's cool. an entire cool. episode on Hidden America where I play a character from Cleveland that gives Jonah a tour of the city, and I'm constantly apologizing for how bad things are.
Great. And I can see that on
VRV.co.
VRV.co.
What does the VRV stand for?
I don't know.
Just checking.
virtual reality videos. And you shot it all in virtual reality, right? And so, like, if I watch it, I'm basically...
You're fully immersed.
Walking through...
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Okay, cool. About to clear that up.
What's the first VR reality show going to be? Oh, you're shopping. And look at the shopping. Did you choose this one or not? You didn't answer quick enough.
Do you mean the first mainstream one? Because there's definitely porn for it.
Oh, yeah.
So Paul, you're one. You're a one.
It goes to zero to what?
It goes to zero. If you're a full Wade, I'm superstitious. So if you said you were superstitious, you would be zero, but everything else we aligned on except for that. So you're just a notch toward Willy.
Okay.
You guys both like walking under ladders and throwing caution to the wind.
I remember one time I had three mirrors and there was a group of people and I was like, 7 years, 14, 21, whatever. I'm stupid.
What happened after the 21 year? Did you have 21 years of bad luck?
I mean,
looking back on your life, was that a mistake?
One could argue that no, I don't think so.
Okay. You've been very blessed.
I don't know if it's superstitious or not, but I will say once Cleveland won a championship, once the Cavs won, I mean, that's kind of when the world started going to hell. You know, Cubs ended up winning the World Series. Then Trump became president. And I'm just saying,
all the curses are undone and it opened up.
Yeah, we split the timeline. We're on the wrong path. If I get a time machine, I will go back and I will stop Cleveland from winning the championship.
Yeah, you would have to keep LeBron in Miami. Have him win a few more titles there.
When you said Cleveland Cavs, I immediately thought Larry Nance, and I pictured their old logo. And I'm like, they didn't win a championship. And I'm like, oh, yeah, LeBron.
there was that one year.
He made it right. He came back after fucking you guys over, and now you all love him still.
Always forgiven. Yeah, now we're all Lakers fans.
Ugh. The shame. Okay. Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, George Herbert Walker Bush's funeral. Some notes went around. Secret notes. Can we figure out what these notes were and who they came from? Is there a shadow government running the United States? All that tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
So we're going to have to be very careful here, right? Because... Does this, well, okay, so When did he die, first of all?
November 30th, 2018. I don't have the funeral date. Yeah.
Well, whatever. That's close enough. That's fine.
Yeah.
2018, very much in the middle of the Q conspiracy. We've got to be careful about that, right? We don't want to go down a Q rabbit hole, do we?
Well, no. And the thing is so tonight I'm going to brush over the Q versions.
Wait, okay. But before you really launch into it, Paul, do you know about this? Did you know that there was a secret note that was passed out?
Not until Willie sent me the video.
Oh, there's a video.
There's a few videos out there, yeah. I mean, this whole thing was televised so much that these reactions were caught on camera, and they are not normal. I mean, something fishy happened.
Okay, well, yeah, expand on that a little bit, because okay. Like if I'm handed a piece of paper, I'm not sure what my natural reaction would be to any message written on.
Yeah, totally. So here's the thing. This thing was televised. There were so many cameras because, you know, the front row was like all ex-presidents. Second row is all vice presidents.
Yeah, it's like Obama's fist bumping with Clinton and like George W.'s there and they're all yucking it up and stuff, right?
Yeah. So I'll just do a quick walkthrough of the events, right? So I'm going to preface this with it's so hard to watch a video and then find out that they're either deep in the queue or overly religious in the way that
these YouTube videos you're talking about, they're skewing everything for their own.
Yeah. And I'm like, here's what happened. Hillary Clinton is going through her, and these are assigned seats.
She's going through her emails, deleting, deleting, deleting.
She opens up her funeral folder. And inside is an envelope, and she opens it up, and she looks at it.
Okay, a funeral folder is a new thing that I've not heard of. Is this something that they give you at a presidential instead of a little flyer with what passage they're going to read from the Bible? They give you an entire folder.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you got enough money, they're going to give you a whole book, you know?
It's going to have a poem written by Jeb, probably, and probably a picture of him when he graduated Skull and Bones.
The Dixie Chicks are going to come to a song.
Hold on. I want to test something out real quick. Hold on. How did he react? How did he react when I showed that to him?
So Paul held up a note that said Wade smells, and Wade was immediately irritated, and it built. He shook his head, and then it's still building. He's pumping his fist like the Incredible Hulk. I can't think of his name. Who's in Rounders? Not the Ed Norton Hulk, but the
Mark Ruffalo. Oh,
yeah, but the Mark Ruffalo Hulk. That's what.
Oh, well, let's not forget about
Eric Bana.
Eric Bana. Don't forget about Eric Bana.
Which one is the one that had the big theater scene with Nick Nolte? Was that Eric Bana?
That was Eric Bana. Yeah.
Oh, that was hard to watch.
Oh yeah, it's a bad movie. That's what's his name? Ang Lee, right?
That was Ang Lee. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. It was like Nick Nolte wasn't given a script. He was just like, just do whatever you want. Dude, we're on a green screen, man. Don't worry, we'll figure it out later.
I'm like, hey, this is public theater, but it's Santa Barbara, it's Maui, so like it's actually a little bit better, you know. Like, sit back.
I do remember like being sort of like, it's weird that this is happening in this movie. You know, it was like a weird, very passionate. I don't know.
It felt like they did reshoots and they didn't have a set. Anyways,
I remember Eric Bana eating a chicken with like his hands, and it was gross. And they're like, wow. "Yeah, Hulk eats chickens with his hands, and even when he's Eric Bana or David, what's his Hulk saying?"
Well, there's David Banner, Banner and Bruce Banner. Yeah, they're.
Is Bruce Banner the non-TV guy? Is Bruce Banner the canon one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
David's the TV one.
Right. Why did they change his name? What's the point of that? Did they not have the rights to it?
They must have.
Yeah.
They changed his name. What? They might have just been like, no one's named Bruce in the 80s, so no thank you.
Yeah, I could imagine that the actor was like, well, you know, the actor brought it up. You're like, well, you know, David sounds a little more, you know, soft. Whatever.
Bruce is too tough. Bruce, like, if I met a kid named Bruce and he beat my ass, so like, I don't like that. I'm gonna be David. Okay, man, whatever.
What was the actor's name? Was it Bill Bixby?
Yeah.
Maybe it was like, we can't have two BB names. It can't be Bruce Banner and Bill Bixby. That just sounds
as
like
Bruce
we're...
Banner.
Yeah. But anyway.
Oh, okay, so Hillary opens up her folder. There's an envelope in it, right?
Right.
And when she reads it, she pulls it all the way up to her face like it should be private, right? And then so Jimmy Carter said, oh, go on.
It was scented.
So sitting next to her is Jimmy Carter, and he's like looking, going like, oh, I didn't get one of those. And he's like, did it fall out? He's looking around. He doesn't have one. And then
nobody trusts the peanut farmer.
And then
he's too good a soul.
Right. Jimmy Carter, man. He's a good guy. So she gets up. Everyone's like still chatting it up. It's very cordial. You know, everyone looks like they're having a good time. And after she reads it, you know, she has a very serious poker face. And then she gets up, and behind her, you see Biden is behind her and his wife. And as they pick up their folder, an envelope falls out, and he picks it up and he's looking at it, and he shows the person next to him, and he's like, hey, you know, I got this envelope. And then you can see immediately Hillary as she stands up, and she says something stern to them, and they look up at her, and then they put it away. None of the videos that I've seen talk about that, but she sees that he's showing the letter to the person next to him. And they both look up at her like, huh? And then they put it away. So that happened. And I think it's couples. I don't think Pence, both the Pences got one, you know, because, well, anyways, you see Mrs. Pence. I don't know her name. She opens up the folder. She has the envelope. You also see Michelle Obama opening up hers, and she shows it to Obama.
Barack. His name is Barack. Yeah,
yeah. It's just funny that, anyways, she shows it to him, and he kind of looks at it for a second, but then it's like, you know, it's business as usual. But she's like trying to show him, and he's, you know, whatever. Dick Cheney.
And Trump is president, right? This is 2018.
Yeah, yeah. So Dick Cheney didn't get one. Quail didn't get one.
Quail, of course, Quail's not going to get.
Yeah,
one.
I know, dude. But then Trump walks in. Trump walks in late. So a lot of these videos are like, look, everyone stiffened up when Trump got there, and I'm like, no, well, hold on a minute. He's the last one to show up, and they're ready to start the funeral. The music has started, you know? So if they tense up, it's because, okay, it's funeral time now, not because fucking Trump is walking in. Just that's my opinion. And I think,
well,
I'm
he's
right.
Also he's the current president. So like, yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of like weird fanfare there. Like if not just like a bunch of Secret Service or something.
And he's fashionably late to a funeral. That's televised.
Yeah.
Also, he said horrible things about every single person in that room. So
yeah. So they're just like, oh, the fucking buzzkill.
Shit.
So he shows up. They don't have an envelope in their thing. The funeral happens, and then as they're walking the casket out, a Secret Service person hands a letter to George W. And he looks at it, and then he gives it to Laura, his wife. And she looks at it, and he doesn't have a reaction to it. He passes on. He also didn't have a reaction when he found out the towers happened. So, but the first one,
he's a stoic man.
So Laura looks at it, and she shows it to Jeb, and Jeb Bush, as he's walking by. Well, Laura, that there's a mouth reader that had pointed out that she said to George, she says, "Is this true?" or something like this. Is this real or is this true? And then he just goes stoically, yep. And then she shows it to Jeb. And Jeb, as his dad's casket is walking by, looks at this letter, has his hand on his heart, drops his hand from his heart, and makes a face like, oh, fuck. Like, as his dad's casket is walking by, he's more concerned with this the information on this letter, which is not which isn't the envelope from the other things, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, his dad's been dead for a little bit. Like, he's had time to process it. It's not like his dad died by him.
No, I agree. It's just like, it's just weird how this all happened on camera during the biggest part of the
film. Right. I'm just saying.
I agree. It is weird that it happened on camera and that secret Illuminati figures would be so brazen with their letter sharing.
Right. And so that's the thing. That's the event that happened. There's not much to it. There's been so much speculation about everything and nothing has come of it since then. But I think it's interesting. The whole reason why this is a topic is because, like, what the fuck were these envelopes? What was this letter? Because you can get a letter to somebody. Like, why did it have to happen during his televised funeral?
Yeah.
Paul? My theory is those envelopes, everyone had them. Maybe we didn't see them open them, or you saw people, you thought people were looking in their folders for their envelope, or they were just like looking through the thing and we just didn't happen to see it. But rather that it's just like in memory of George Herbert Walker Bush. Also, this is where, you know, cake and wine is being served. And maybe it didn't go to everyone. Maybe it was just the people. It's just like, this is where we're going to meet up afterwards.
It's
to
the after
mourn
party.
The
it's
loss.
The cool
yeah.
kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I will say this. I don't want to go down the main religious or Q conspiracies. I'll just say them, a couple of them real quick. One of them is that this is actually a letter from Trump, and that George Bush Sr. like turned state's evidence before he died, and they're all the pedophiles are going to get arrested. That was the big one going around. I'm like, oh gosh, okay.
Why are they so just into pedophilia?
I know. And I'm like, hey, you guys have a million pedophiles that you're letting get away with the church. So why don't you go get a couple of them first before you try to end Tom Hanks' career?
Tom Hanks is a fucking sweetheart. Leave him alone.
Because pedophilia is also the perfect cudgel. Like, no one can say, like, I'm for that, because it's just like you accuse people of it. And if they're like, they defend a person, they're like, oh, so you support pedophilia then, I guess. It's like, just saying that person's not that thing. Tom Hanks isn't drinking the blood of children.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I got, well, whatever. I don't want to go down my rabbit holes of things that I've.
Don't do the Q thing. Move on to the next.
Yeah. Yeah. So, one other thing. So here's the thing. There's this guy, Dr. Dave Janda. I should look up what he does, but anyways,
I watched that YouTube video as well, but go on.
Yeah. Yeah. And he doesn't offer much more except to say that he was told by his secret insider to pay attention to the funeral. And so it's interesting that somebody told him to watch it because things were going to happen. And it's still nothing is revealed. Nothing has come of it yet. You know, no one's been arrested, you know, all the things I don't believe that everyone got that letter, because we saw that Carter didn't get it. And then I feel like there were so many cameras on everyone that if anybody else got it, it's not like the cameras missed it. Just saying. But so he was told to watch it, and what was he supposed to watch? And those are the only weird things that he saw in it, was especially the letter from the Secret Service. You know, he points out that it was weird that, once you're president, you get Secret Service for life. And there weren't that many Secret Service people there. There was one behind George that handed him the letter.
Wait, yeah. I just real quick, just to clear this up. How do you spell Dr. Dave Janda?
J-A-N-D-A.
Yeah, this guy's a crackpot. Like, the first things that come up when you Google him is Operation Freedom for a radio show. He doesn't have a Wikipedia, as far as I can tell. He's got a website. He also looks the most like a pedophile of anyone.
I'm not adding credibility to him. I don't know much about him, but I don't think he's Q or overly religious. Just saying, like, if he's whatever he's doing, he's more, not that that brings any credibility to him. I'm just saying he's not a Q guy.
He's got some spin. He's got some kind of weird spin going on.
His biggest thing that he talks about from what I've seen is just like the globalists, the Bilderbergers. He's like on to the fact that there's a shadow government running the world.
Okay. All right. All right.
So that was me trying to say he's kind of left.
So there is a shadow government running the world, or there's a shadow organization trying to establish a government to run the world?
Right now, they're kind of the same thing, in that if the New World Order is trying to run the world, they're still in charge of – they still have big voices in
wait, but how do we know where the New World Order lands on the political spectrum?
What do you think of the New World Order, Wade? What's your What's your overall summary?
I'm all for it. I'm like super psyched. I would love for just one world government and then we could get rid of, I don't know why it's a bad thing. No one has ever told me why it's a bad thing because I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, one government and we don't have any wars or anything and all this like military, all of our funneling our tax dollars to military shit will go away and then we can just like have, you know, like fucking socialized welfare and Medicare and
those are all decent things. What's your take, Paul? What do you think of New World Order, good or bad? And what's your take?
I'm kind of in the same boat as Wade, where it's just like it's not necessarily a bad thing to have a one world government. I mean, certainly when the New World Order is discussed, it's talked about in an authoritarian kind of way.
Yeah,
but you know, there's no. I mean, look at Star Trek. It's one world government. They seem to be doing fine with Starfleet. You know,
yeah. I maybe I'm romanticizing it. I don't see the nefarious aspects of it, where it would be like, oh yeah, yeah, no, you all have to like get fucking castrated or whatever. But I don't know.
The reason why I think New World Order is bad, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberger Group, is because these are people running the world only because they're rich, and so
yeah, but they're running it already, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but once they run the world, then it turns into a blatant dictatorship. You know, like sure, democracy might still blanketly exist, but if they can have the whole world, the dystopian future of corporations being in charge, it's RoboCop. It's
well, the dystopian, but I just think you're too late. I think it's happened. The dystopian future of corporations being in charge is current.
Yeah,
I feel that way too, but it's still not. They're still not admitting it, and so
Well, why would admitting it change it? I mean, it doesn't make it any more evil to then.
Well,
be
you
like,
you have
oh,
a
yeah,
whole population
way.
Of dumb. I don't mean to say dumb, ignorant people that think that everyone's still their elected officials are making choices based on their interests. You know, it's the facade of being a slave to the system. And it's like, you can't, as soon as you break the system, then they lose everything. So it's like the system is what's driving everything, not free will, not to freedom of anything. It's like, we're slowly going to lose all of our freedoms to make this system perpetuate itself.
Well, I don't think corporations want a authoritarian one world government. The economy is a false thing anyway, so they need to maintain capitalism. And the only way to do that is to make people feel as if they have a stake in things and that they need to buy things and they need to continue to do that. So there's no, it seems weird to me that they would want some sort to come out of the closet and declare themselves, you know, the rulers of the world. But I think the main thing is it's just blind, like this amorphous blob of corporations just trying to do the best for themselves. And it's just maintaining the status quo at that. It's not, there's no real thought behind it about like, oh, we need to control all of the nation states and we have to get people to do this or that. It's so much as it's just like taking it each step of the way. It's like, oh, here's a new thing. All right. How do we manufacture this to make more money?
Taking advantage of the situation to maintain the power that they, I get that.
Yeah. Rather than like creating scenarios in which they are like, oh, they did this because of this, so much as just like, no, this happened. And now they're going to figure out a way to profit off of it.
I mean, we're too late. Like the ownership of oil and stuff like that, it's bought and paid for. Like all these things where we're fighting over oil, like that's bullshit. Like the corporations already own it. And we're just like, we're funneling money into the military industrial complex because there's a lot of kickbacks. A lot of people are getting rich by doing that. Well, I just think the one world government is already here and it's conglomerates buying politicians.
See, listen, I agree with that. I just, my spin on it is, all right, here we go. And I won't go too much into this. This is where my belief system comes from, is that aliens are real. and as soon as everybody knows about that, they kind of lose even the one world government because we belong to a society of intelligent beings.
Okay. let's get into more of that, because that is a can of worms that I would love to talk about after the break. Paul, save your thoughts. Put a pin in it. I can see you're champing at the bit to get your thing out there. Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about aliens running the one world government with our good friend, Paul Bonanno.
There's a note. It says, Wade is a jerk.
Oh, is that what it said?
It was secretly handed to visually Wade, and he missed
it. You could tell by Wade's look. He pretended like he couldn't read it, but he knew exactly what it said. And he was shocked to his core.
If only the note that they handed all of these powerful ex-presidents was as illegible as that, then we would have some great... They would just be like, what the fuck does this say?
Yeah, right? It was handwritten and they couldn't read it. And Jeb Bush is like, what? I can't... Who? You going to send me a note when my dad's dead body's going by and I can't read it? That's why he
There's
was
just, no way this came from the Skull and Bones, because they fucking print everything out. All right, we'll be right back. Taking a quick break.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills and the kills and the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife, it has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? Put that... What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're here talking to our friend, director Paul Bonanno, about, well, these secret letters, but Willie just did a weird cliffhanger where... aliens are now involved. Willie, do you want to? Oh, but real quick. I'm sorry. David Janda, MD, was a practicing orthopedic surgeon. So that's his background. He was an orthopedic surgeon. So if you care about him, I just wanted to get that out there.
Word. And that's funny, because when I think about, not that we'll ever get credibility, but I laugh at me ever getting credibility one day and like, it's like, what? Think of all the stupid things I've done to just take all the credibility away.
Oh, you will never. Like, we talk a lot about you running for local elections and stuff. All they would have to do is pull up one episode of this podcast to completely discredit you.
Well, I would agree with you if Lauren Boebert didn't still have her position, you know, like her.
Well, you got to cater to the right types.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Let me save the aliens for a little bit, right? Because I want to talk
about... Oh, my God. What a tease. Okay. Well,
I want to guess at who... Let's say only those few people got those letters. Because, I mean, I really feel like if anybody else got them, there were so many videos of everybody that...
Okay. So, like, ex-presidents and Mike Pence, right? Is that the list?
Yeah.
Well, Biden's not an ex-president, and neither is Hillary Clinton.
Oh, wait, no, Pence didn't
Pence did, but
Pence's wife got it, yeah.
I think it's couples, though, because like in most of the situations, it was the wife, you know, opening it up, but I think that they have a shared envelope. That's my
That would make sense.
Because Michelle got it.
It's just a weird Hillary. Swingers party?
It's just a key party, yeah.
So eyes wide shut, do you think that he – had any insider information about the secret underworld of these,
Have you watched that movie? It's so generic.
Oh, yeah.
Because he got killed before he could finish editing it to expose all of them.
Yeah,
about their weird, naked, totally not erotic sex parties.
Hey, listen, we'll have you fake the moon landing, but when you expose our sex parties, that's too far.
Intimate indiscretions was sexier than Eyes Wide Shut is all I'm saying.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. Go to Channel 101. Go watch Intimate Indiscretions. Paul made it with Jeff.
Jeff Kaufman.
Kaufman. Ah, God. It's a great funny show. Jonah's in it. Kate is great in it. Fucking Dave. It's a late night radio talk show. I don't know. It's a hilarious thing that everyone should watch. I mean, my list of who could have given these letters to people that would kind of shock them a little bit, right? So I have a small list. One of them being, was it a specific letter from George on his deathbed? You know, could he have sent a personal letter to people involved? Because listen, no matter what where you fall on the side of globalists, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the New World Order, all this stuff, like these are the players. These families are the players.
Are they going to let him send a note from his deathbed? I mean, he's incapacitated. He's on his deathbed. Right. How does he get a note out? He's got to have a lot of people that he trusts around him. And I can't imagine the Illuminati is going to let him just be alone with these people.
I don't know if they were playing that he was senile on the way out or if he was, you know, what was he like 90 or something? He like groped somebody like a couple weeks before he died. And there were conspiracies going around that he was senile and he was spilling the beans on a lot of stuff he shouldn't have been spilling the beans on. And so that he was actually killed because he was senile.
Well, it's a perfect murder. They waited until he was 95.
Yeah, I know. Right. I know. It was like,
but also if you've already painted him as senile, then nothing he says matters. Right.
Yeah, but then you kill him with natural causes, you know, before he says something. So that's one. You've got the Q things. We'll brush over those. I mean, we'll ignore those. Dave Janda said that from his inside contact that it was a list of coming attractions, meaning like here's some shit coming up this year, you know.
so it's like
without saying what those were either. It was very vague.
Wonder Woman, 1984.
double impeachment. Whatever. I don't
know. It was just old Ain't It Cool News article.
And then so here's the big thing, all right? This is why I think that there's something very important to this. I'll throw this out there too first. So we'll brush over this. What if he was cloned? And this is a note saying, like, I'm still alive. My body's dead, but I'm in a new body.
Oh, like he freejacked somebody.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm game for that. I'm game for a little freejacking conspiracy theory.
Right?
Like, well, yeah. Listen, I like that. But don't we discard our ex-presidents very quickly? Like, you know, Obama's only got a book deal or I guess maybe he's launching a network. I don't know. He's still around. But, like, no one gives a shit about ex-presidents.
Well, and then here's the thing. I agree with you 100%. Even though they still have the facade of Secret Service with them, is it the new regime of the new secret force, right? And I say that because of this. Let me give you a 5-minute George Herbert Walker Bush history that's filled with conspiracies, right? They have a relative, Prescott Bush, who has basically made a lot of money off the Nazis. He, George Herbert Walker Bush, became the first head of the CIA that didn't previously work for the CIA. So they just hired someone to be the head of the CIA. The answer to that is no, he was working to them and he was like deep. He was a deep CIA agent. I think that the reason why they keep closing these JFK files is because his name is on the list of helping to assassinate JFK. He was the vice president for Ronald Reagan. An assassination attempt on his life from Hinckley, and the Hinckley families and the Bush families are very tight. The Iran-Contra has Bush all over it. Bush was a big part of the CIA running cocaine into neighborhoods. the Gulf War. He's connected to human trafficking. He's connected to CIA mind control stuff. No matter what, his reign of being the head of CIA and then ending up being the president has him connected to a lot of secrecy for America for like 20, 30 years. Just saying that, like, whether sure. whether you believe in every specific thing or not, that's why I'm kind of brushing over him. It's like, hey, if any of these are real, he's definitely connected to it.
And so, but the basis of this is that he cloned himself and he's still alive.
No, no, no. I'm brushing the clone. I don't buy the clone shit at all. I do not at all. So, so I'm saying though that, like, even after him not being president, he still, even as a retired president, he still was very connected to the secret world of the United States after being the head of CIA and all these things. He's still in on it. You don't retire from that. And so him dying is actually a passing of the guard to a new regime of secrecy. And so maybe, you know, I don't know what that could be. And I'm not going to, it's hard to guess, but it's just basically saying that, like, until he was dead, he was connected to that secrecy of everything from him, even before he was head of CIA.
So here's the thing. I don't understand why there needs to be a secret. I feel like this secret, deep, whatever, all these, like, this cabal of nefarious people who are running things behind the scenes, I don't think that they need to exist. I think that's a distraction, because it's like, it's very easy to see that when laws are passed in this country, it comes from a shitload of money from corporations.
I agree. I mean, also, I mean, they are running things. He was in charge. There's no secret there. There's no, I mean, he just was.
Yeah, it would be a little weird to be connected to the secret thing and then be the president. If you're trying to be secretive about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, no, I'll just be the guy. That doesn't seem secret at all.
Just, I'm running things. Yeah. And then we're selling cocaine to rebels, or we're selling rebels cocaine to arm them. And,
you'll find out about it in 20 years.
Yeah. It's fun. We're going to lie about it for 6 years and then there'll be an investigation. Yeah. And I'll be like, we did it.
Think about it, because I'll be gone.
Oliver North will be like, yeah, I did it. And then 2 weeks later, he's on Fox News hosting, you know, some history show.
It's kickbacks, just constant kickbacks, man. I don't believe in the secret government. I don't believe in a deep state. I think it's all very base level. I think you can look at campaign finances and who contributes to campaigns, and you can go like, oh, it's very obvious who's running the show, and it's the people with the money.
I'm a very Occam's razor kind of guy. You know, the simplest solution is the most likely one, and you know, it's like all of these, any of these like little things where it's just like, I can't remember what it's called, where police just like will confiscate your stuff under the pretense of, oh, you're a drug dealer. Civil forfeiture. It's
you've
just like,
that's $400. It's probably from drugs. I'm taking it.
You know, it's like, that's not coming down from some top down thing. That's just the local police force being like, we want cool stuff. Let's take this.
But Willie, regardless of us just blowing up your George H.W. Bush thing, what about the aliens? Are we to the aliens yet? Or is there another?
My only thing before aliens is why do these letters need to go out on a public stage, right? Like, why, if these were letters directed at them for some reason, whatever it being, you could get it to them yesterday. Like, why? Why at this funeral?
Couldn't it be like, I know Anonymous is dead now, but couldn't it be like Anonymous and they just hacked their way in and they sent a bunch of letters?
Well, the one thing is that Secret Service agent handing the letter to George while his dead dad is walking by. That's just so fucking huge.
It's interesting you bring that up, because I rewatched that during the break, and they don't hand him a letter. No Secret Service person hands George Bush a letter. I mean, he's being blocked by them as they're walking by, and it looks like Barbara's holding, or is it, or no, what's it, Laura's Laura, holding, yeah. holding a piece of paper, and then she shows it to Jeb, and Jeb goes, and then.
But like you can see the guy lean up to him.
I'm going to watch it again.
But why is my theory, and I'm not saying you're discrediting it or not listening to me, but like, could this not have been like an anti, like some kind of group that just like sent them all like some kind of weird message?
If I feel like to get that message in there, like I feel like Secret Service is so lamely good at their job that they probably inspected all of the folders before they sat down to make sure there was not anthrax.
I think you're way overestimating it. I think you could easily infiltrate the Secret Service, and like if you're one of these hacker guys, you could easily like just print out some like badges or whatever, and then just walk in and like put a bunch of letters in there. I mean, that would be my plan.
I'm watching this video again. I'm not seeing, is it supposed to be the bald Secret Service agent that leans over and hands him something? Because that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
he also doesn't. I understand why Jeb's hand came down. I mean, they are walking really slow as they pass by.
But his hand drops by though in reaction to the letter, not you know what I mean? Like if you look at George W., he's looking forward steadfast, like he is John F. Kennedy's kid. Like, just like, I'm on camera, I'm looking forward, my hands on my heart, I'm not paying attention to, is sure.
Well, can we talk about, like, what are the theories that this thing said?
I mean, also, his hand comes down after the casket passed. And if you watch behind him, as the casket passes the next row, their hands come down. I think that's just the thing.
Yeah, but Jeb's face is still fucked. He looks over at that.
I mean, the note might have been like, "You're never going to be president, jackass." You know, yeah, that would upset me too if I was him.
But it wasn't. But it wasn't to Jeb. You know, it was. So I don't see this handoff to George either.
Well, but Laura's reading it. Laura's reading it. I haven't seen this video, and I imagine most of our listeners haven't either.
Well, but yeah, should
we screen share? Do you want to see it? Oh, yeah.
No, we can't screen share. I can hold it on this, but like, no, screen share fucks up a recording.
Probably move on, right? Like,
that's why we're trying to describe it also, though, to talk through it. That, like, I mean, like, I feel like this is the casket, mystery. The casket's going by, and she shows Jeb this piece of paper. I don't see the handoff from this security guy that's right next to him behind him either. The casket's blocking it. But so Laura's looking at it. She asks George, like, is this real? And he says, yep. And then she shows it to Jeb, and his mouth drops with his hand. George W.'s hand drops too as the casket goes by also. But Jeb's face is fucking nutso, like, what the fuck?
I don't know. He's at a funeral. It just looks like a guy who's making a face. It's like, I don't know. That's the face I would make if my mom showed me the hymnal while I was at a funeral and go, I don't want to read. I don't want to sing. Thanks. I never saw this lip reading one. So I can't speak for whether or not she's saying, is this real?
So I don't know. I mean, to me, Jeb's reaction is like, he's a fucking idiot, but I'm like, why is she reading a piece of paper as the casket's going by and showing Jeb? You know what I mean? Like, the casket walking by.
Have you ever been to a funeral?
Have you ever been an important person at a funeral and you're on camera the whole time?
All right. Well, you got me.
Wade, tell the truth. You have been an important person at a funeral with a camera on you.
I just don't know what the point of that is. Like, what? How would I react differently if I'm an important person? I know I'm on camera.
Yeah. So let's go to. Let's just jump into aliens, and you know, right? Like,
well, I don't know what. I don't know why you're upset. Like, I don't know what you're talking about because I'm not watching this video. So you're talking about like weird handing off on shit. And
I know, but I was trying to explain it. You were telling me not to explain it. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, let's move on.
We can send Wade the video,
but you know, our listeners aren't going to watch it either.
Nah, so that's true. All right.
Let's jump into the alien angle. I believe that aliens are real. They're interdimensional. They're not driving here from another planet. When you become the president, you get let in on information. But I think that the alien secrecy is above most presidents. And I think it's above top secret, and they're not in on it either, most of them, since, I don't know, probably since JFK. I don't think, there's rumors of Nixon showing Jackie Gleason the aliens. And, you know, you've got Reagan's speech talking about how, you know, he kept a few times he mentioned if an alien threat came, I think all of our differences would drop.
Well, that's the whole theory behind Watchmen, right? You know, a universal threat for the planet.
Yeah, I agree with you, both you guys, that this corporation rule has been happening for a long time. And it's like, yeah, you can follow the money, and it's that simple, and that nobody needs to be in on a bigger secret. You know, I know that there's secret societies and whatnot, but it's pretty obvious. You can follow most paper trails and stuff. And but add aliens to the mix. And what happens to our way of life if they're inviting us to join them? Like, hey, join the universe. Like, all you got to do is get rid of all your weapons. That's always the story, that fake or real, or that's the main agenda that's always being pushed. Get rid of your weapons and you can join the galactic community. Like, what do you guys think of that?
Sounds like a trap to me. Sounds like a superior species or civilization about to wipe out a less advanced one. But I hope they show up and they say that, because I want to see what happens.
I know, right? I mean, like, if you're having intergalactic wars of any sort, we got nothing on you. We don't have a defense. We don't have a weapon. We don't have a virus we can upload to your computer spaceship.
Maybe it'll just be like War of the Worlds. We'll have too many coronaviruses and they'll all die as soon as they get here.
So, I mean, you know, I'm pushing this alien stuff thing, and neither of you guys believe in aliens. And
I believe in aliens. I believe if they do exist, I've never seen them. And that I think if they're traveling, yeah, it's interdimensional.
So what's your take on all of there have been a lot of UFO stories within the past like 5 years from
really believe in the UFO stories. The one that just came out recently where it's a guy trying to get stuff declassified or whatever, it all seems like it's coming from one source, and until anything more comes from that, I'm like, I mean, they're UFOs, they're unidentified, that doesn't make them spaceships. I just think if something can travel interdimensionally, they're just watching us, or they just exist in a plane that we can't even comprehend. Be like an ant trying to comprehend what keeps happening to the anthill if you knock it over.
Yeah, I'm on board with that too, like probes and parallel universe evidence without anything physical.
I mean, then there's also the, you know, we could also just be in a virtual reality simulation anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I believe.
You think this is just virtual reality we're in right now?
Kind of, because how else do you explain that history keeps repeating itself? Like, what? Why would that be? Like, why can't we progress?
If everything's in cycles, life is in cycles, existence, learning, why do we need to keep learning the same? Why do we not keep learning the same things?
Like I said, it depends on what you mean by history repeating itself. Because, you know, one issue I feel like is a huge issue with economic growth in our world is that through most of human history, there would either be a massive some kind of disease that would wipe out a huge percentage of the population, or there'd be a massive war that would wipe out a lot, or at least a large percentage of the population that worked. And then after the war, there would be an economic boom because suddenly there are a bunch of jobs open now that weren't available before. And we don't really have those mass exterminations, if you will, of humans. So yeah, we're kind of teetering on this weird, and also with automation taking hold of so many industries, it's like, well, what does that mean? I mean, that's another reason why it's just like the idea of global domination by corporations is, I mean, unless it's like the idea of corporations turning into something else to maintain power, because it's like at a certain point, it's like, yeah, you're going to have to create universal basic income or create some kind of system. Because there's just not going to be enough jobs.
Yeah, you know, like with all the conglomerates that are happening, you know, it's like, sure, there's a few companies at the top, but like, yeah, if everything's automated, like everyone's going to lose their job anyways.
And that's something I definitely believe in, is that one day we're just going to be the pets of AI and robots and machines that we've built.
I agree with you. And I think that the UBI would be... You would have to just like give, like, when you look at the wealth inequality, right? And the the top 1%, all that shit, how they have like 90% of the wealth. The UBI would be a way for them to correct that so that you could still be buying their products. Like, they don't need you at a certain point. They don't need you to be like a worker bee anymore. They just need you to be a consumer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah. So give everybody, you know, fucking $3,000 a month or whatever, and they'll keep like buying shit. They'll keep being a consumer. And I don't think it's a nefarious thing. I think it's like this is just.
I mean, it's a theoretical. You know, it's a self-preservation thing for the company, for their way of the way of life that they everyone has known. You know, kind of thing.
Right. I mean, I'm constantly going like, why does anyone need to be a billionaire? Now we have trillionaires, and it's like. I don't think they understand that enough is enough. Like, they just want more and more and more. And so if it means giving back $3,000 a month to every person in the world, as long as they can still be raking in as much money as they can. And then, you know, there's always going to be problems. There's always going to be solutions to those problems that require money that they will then take and like make more money, you know?
I mean, if they don't do it, it's going to be torches and pitchforks outside the mansions, and they won't be able to hold off the masses forever.
Well, and see that I'm glad you brought that up, because like ultimately, no matter what happens, no matter what kind of control there is or whatever, you have to fool people into thinking that they're not in control, right? Just because it's like you can't kill the king if you don't know who the king is.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and people will be as complacent as they are comfortable, you know, as long as they have.
That goes along with the UBI, which is like throw them a fucking bone, then they won't riot. And I don't know. It feels symbiotic to me. Like I'm just a lazy asshole. But like if I got $3,000 a month to continue this fucking conglomerate control of the world. I'm also white, so it's easier for me. But all that being said, like, I'm down with being complacent. And I guess they figured me out. I'm into it.
I agree. I feel like most white people are into it, which is why a lot of them are very upset about the idea of having to have a little less to share.
Yeah, but it's not even less from them. Like they're so stupid. It's not.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
They could share. They're just greedy assholes.
Yeah. I should rephrase that. It's not that they're having less. It's that they theoretically think they'll be at the lower tier.
Yeah, they've been told that this would be detrimental to them, and so.
They've victimized their rule.
Yeah, I mean, victimize is a good, like, these white people, which I'm a part of, have been told that, like, if they lose any little monochrome of control, that it will negatively affect them, and it's just not true.
Which is, I mean, I feel like it's a systemic problem where it's like, because that I feel like is also that goes all the way up to the trillionaire, where it's just like, well, I don't want to not be a trillionaire, so I'm gonna keep taking all the money in the world. And it's like, if there aren't enough people that are like, no, we need to give people money and we need to keep consumerism going, then it will collapse, and then they're gonna fuck themselves. It's just a matter of when.
Totally.
I think that anybody can get addicted to anything. And if you get addicted to money and power and you get it, you can rip people off. You can, without even being smarter about anything.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be curious to see what happens as we continue forward.
I keep saying I'm very happy that the way that the last decade has gone, because it's like, yeah, I feel like more people are paying attention because it's been so stupid. And, I feel like tomorrow's generation is, I am hopeful for the kids of tomorrow because they've seen so many stupid things.
I think they've also, as a society, we've kind of encouraged the idea of not being satisfied, that, it's like, you should always want more. Every individual, not in a Mr. Rogers way, but like every person is special and therefore should be treated special. And if you're not special, you're not good. It's like, well, no, every job is important and everyone has value and worth. Like, it's, but like, I feel
except
like that's so much
cops.
Right? Like, how many bosses have you heard trying to explain why janitors are important? not to belittle janitors, but I'm just like, when you take the highest position trying to say why the lowest position is important, I agree in the validity, but I don't want to hear it from the top person.
Listen, we need plumbers. We don't need cops.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I see this a lot with a lot of my hometown people, where they're like, it's people that are in the trades that are kind of like mad at these, coastal elites, as if like they see them as talking down to them all the time, because they see me as talking down to them, because I'm like, hey, this meme you posted isn't true. And to them, it's like, oh, that's me not respecting a plumber, a carpenter, or whatever. But at the same time, I see these same people like bad mouthing people that work in fast food, like they don't deserve a living wage. Or one guy saw, he bad mouthed TV repairmen. He referred to like IT people as today's TV repairmen. It's like, well, have you ever tried to repair a TV? It's not easy. Nor is working on a computer, but it's just, I find it fascinating, because the same people that are like, you think you're better than me, are the ones I constantly seeing talking down to people that they view as not knowing as much. Or like, yeah, if you don't know how to change your own tire, you're not fit for, to be a human.
Why are you driving a Lexus? You don't know how to change your tire.
Well, that I agree with. You should be able to change a tire. I think that's just like rule one. Change a tire.
I think you should be, but at the same time, if somebody doesn't know how and they call AAA, all right. Yeah, that's fine too.
that is fine too. And that just leads back into the consumerism thing, where it's like, well, we got to keep these AAA guys employed. So we can't let everyone know how to change a tire.
All right, that's certainly how cars feel nowadays, where it's just like, oh no, there's too many.
Cars got so complicated, man.
What is this plastic cover on the engine?
I don't know, but it's $10,000 to fix it.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up. This note, what did it say, Willie?
Well, I will first off say, listen, man, I'm sorry. I know I got...
Oh, who gives a shit? I don't care.
Word.
Whatever.
There's this funny tweet going around that, and I think it's funny, where the idea is it is a specific message from George Bush. They know everything. I'm sorry. I laugh at, I mean, here's the thing. We are in the age of misinformation, and everyone is taking advantage of you not actually knowing what's going on. I'm going to put Q in there with flat earthers and.
Well, it's all the same. No, it's all the same. Like, I'm sorry to interrupt here, but like, it's all the same. It's all this. People feeling helpless and trying to like get a grasp on something, like that's why all of these things are happening, because like everyone feels helpless and then they go like, oh, this is a beacon that I can like grab onto and I'm here for the ride. I'm going to fucking follow it through. It doesn't matter if it's real or not.
And so ultimately, though, to yes and you, like, at the core of it, when you jump onto someone's like beliefs of their existence and they happen to believe different from you, some people got some notes at a funeral of president, and these are ex-presidents all getting these notes. And it's just like, you know, yes, I keep saying you could have delivered all this stuff the day before. Why today? While everyone's like, I bet you there were 20 cameras there at least. And it's like, I feel like it's just to make a statement of that power. As somebody who thought they were important, trying to give a message to people that, you know, it. And so conspiracy theorists everywhere throwing out their agenda without any proof of anything. And so it's weird for me to try to speculate what they could be, because I feel like that's the problem with conspiracy theories, is as soon as you all of a sudden the whole thing, there's not one fact anywhere. Like we can't even agree that I say, well, we can agree that we can't see the Secret Service person handing the letter to I didn't see it either, but you know, so yes, everything is fanatical at this time, but like, God, I mean, you know, and to judge how someone should act at a funeral of their dad that they knew was dying for 10 years, at least, whatever. I'm at this weird point where it's like, I'm not trying to be apologetic. I'm not trying to push anything weird. I'm just saying, like, I feel like some weird things happen in the realm of all of these people have Secret Service for them. Why publicize it? And the only reason why I can think to publicize it is just the stupid ceremonial entities like Skull and Bones, where it's like, hey, you know, we're an important fraternity. We're the Illuminati, you know? And so like, sure, maybe these people have joined these groups that harp on that in some way. And you're going to get something in a public way. How do you fool the biggest players? This is how. You give them letters in a public forum that could have been delivered yesterday. And so just saying, like, I think that these letters were real from entities like maybe some kind of Illuminati or Skull and Bones or New World Order or something, just to try to show that they have power. It's just a play. And so when I see Laura Bush showing Jeb that thing, it's probably something on the level of extortion. I mean, not to say that it's extortion, but just something that's like, hey, we know a big secret, because the players know a lot of the big secrets. What's funny is that nothing has come of this since then. So if you believe in – listen, I'm going to say this. If you believe in Q, I will point out that nothing that they said has come – to light in any realm.
No, I don't think it has.
And so please, if you're into Q, you've all been duped. Nothing has been real. But it's crazy, because I say that and I can laugh about it, but I'm like, it's a big population of people that have been duped. And so have I been? Yes, I've been duped on a lot of things. You know, I'm looking at things, I believe things that aren't real. And so I'm sorry to take too long, but just to ultimately get to the fact that I think that there's something here, even if it's just a play to prove that it's something and it's actually nothing.
Or, you know, it's the deep state, you know, saying, hey, this is what you guys got to do, because Trump is the one that didn't get one. And Pence played a role in that, in Trump not getting his wish anyway on how to take back the presidency. So, you know. If I'm just going to play the game a little bit, theoretically, who might do this? Somebody who doesn't want Trump in power.
To yes and you real quick, just I didn't say this earlier. Trump and Pence did not say hi on camera through this whole event. And Pence is the only person that should have said hi to Trump. there was a crazy thing to me that they didn't even have eye contact. And they were right next to each other. Go on.
No, I mean – Trump spoke pretty horribly about Jeb Bush. So, you know, if there was anything on there, maybe it was something involving Trump and he was just disgusted by it. That would be my, if I knew for certain that there was definitely something on those letters, that would be my guess. That's just based on who received it and the big reaction from Jeb.
That's a good guess. Like, here's his moment to be like, I'm the president. I can get anybody a letter here. Fuck you. I'm in charge right now.
Yeah.
That's a good call. I buy that too.
Or it's like part of the Illuminati being like, this is what we need to do to stop Trump. Although why would they send that at the funeral? I think it's more likely that Trump just trying to fuck with them if it were anything. Party at Trump's Trump Tower afterwards. You're all invited.
But yeah, Jim's like, you're gonna have a party at your towers. My dad's going by. Like, fuck you.
Drino shots for everyone.
I think it was probably just like the menu for the after party where they're picking out.
Not a vegan? No vegan option. Fucking
no vegan. Come on. What are we, pussies? Bunch of liberals. They have a vegan option. You get chicken or fish. And they were like, what? All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Paul, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to plug anything on your way out?
Nah. go to VRV.co and watch In America. It was a really good show and no one got to see it.
Willie Bad Movies on everything. That's all. Willie with a Y.
Hit up my TikTok. It's TikTok/@Wade.Randolph. It's good. I got good content on there. Received my first negative comment and it destroyed me. I'm not built for this world where anyone in the world can just tell me that I suck.
I've seen your TikToks, man. They were golden.
I know, dude. Oh, I enjoy them so much. I always say to watch them.
Yeah, but you guys are my friends, and your opinions don't value as much as a bunch of strangers. But hey, everyone, thanks for listening. Remember, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Paul Venano, thank you so much for being here. Remember that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you on the bonus episode.
Bye.
Yay.